Hey, Bill and Gunn, and welcome to Blackmore Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. Before we get into it, let's listen to some of the mainstream media inside of Australia's views on the Australian marches, and in particular some of the events that transpired, including, I think, Camp Sovereignty in Melbourne being also attacked and interrupted.
There was violence and mayhem on the streets when protests spiralled out of control in cities across the country. Police resorted to drastic measures to quell the crowds as rival groups came to blows.
Hey, Bill and Gunn, and welcome to Blackmore Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. Big thanks to BBM 98.7 FM for broadcasting this show on the Yidinji Territory. If you're listening outside of the Yidinji Territory, inside of Australia, it's via the National Indigenous Radio Service. And, of course, we are very happy to talk about the issues and matter of sovereignty and Indigenous rights and the pre-1770 tribal societies that still live today, wherever you are on this continent. It's Aboriginal land or Indigenous land. And in the city of Gimoy, that is known by Australians as Cairns, the Yidinji Nation operating through its government that was set up by the elders many years ago now, it seems. But the issue has sort of been surfaced again in terms of the Australia's sovereignty with these national marches, and it's sort of an interesting culmination of things around the world, really, when you look at what's happening in Europe, the UK and the Americas, and now here. But before we get into it, let's listen to some of the mainstream media inside of Australia's views on the Australian marches, and in particular some of the events that transpired, including, I think, Camp Sovereignty in Melbourne being also attacked and interrupted.
There was violence and mayhem on the streets when protests spiralled out of control in cities across the country. Police resorted to drastic measures to quell the crowds as rival groups came to blows. And in breaking news, two protesters have been charged after allegedly assaulting a police officer at a Sydney bar. The male constable suffered minor injuries. For more, let's bring in Andrew McCormack in Melbourne. Andrew, new video has emerged of an apparent neo-Nazi attack on an Indigenous camp.
Nat, this is a really ugly postscript to what were ugly and shocking scenes in Melbourne yesterday. A group of around 20 to 30 men, all dressed in black. This is after the main March for Australia anti-immigration protest in the city took place, set upon and attacked a group of Indigenous supporters and Indigenous people here at a Camp Sovereignty camp in King's Domain, just next to the city. This Camp Sovereignty has been in place by Indigenous leaders and those in the Indigenous community since January 26 in 2024. Here's how it unfolded. So I've spoken to police. They say no arrests were made in that area late yesterday. There were reports of a number of injuries and that supposed group of neo-Nazis using flagpoles to injure those Indigenous people there. We'll follow that up throughout the morning as that story unfolds. But that followed, of course, those really violent scenes in Melbourne CBD as police were stretched to their absolute breaking point with scuffles breaking out. Six people were arrested. Two officers were injured while there was only around 5,000 or so protesters for that anti-immigration protest here in Melbourne. There were quite a number of more in Adelaide and Sydney. We saw scuffles in Adelaide and also saw a sign with Desi Freeman's picture saying "Free Man" underneath. Of course, that man, the alleged gunman who allegedly in cold blood murdered two policemen as that search goes on. So police right across the country were stretched thin as they not only looked for that accused gunman who allegedly murdered two of their colleagues, but now against these protesters who, some of those, supported that alleged cop killer. And around, look, 40 to 50,000 were the estimates on the protesters, but as I said, six arrested here in Melbourne where the violence was at its worst.
Yeah. OK. Thank you very much, Andrew. Here's Sheva.
Gunyaran Yurlum joined me today. Bumi can't make it today, unfortunately, but that's okay. He is a busy man. Gunyara, the Australia National Day marches, this is an interesting thing. There's been mixed views on it all. What's your take?
When you stop and look at what's really going on, it was an anti-immigration march, you know, all over in the capital cities around Australia, of course. I think it even got up north, up everywhere. So it's everywhere, you know. It's all these people, the Australians that are against bringing in other people into this part of the world, which, you know, just reflects the hypocrisy that's going on. And then I look at that in conjunction with the craziness of this sovereign citizen down south in Victoria, in northern Victoria there, that shot those three coppers. And that's a really sad state of affairs. You know, no one should die for this. It really is. And that bloke really needs to be hunted down because there's no place for sovereign citizens in our part of the world, let alone inside Australia. Now, this is very important because when you mention the Yidinji territory, for example, Yidinji are the true and correct, the Yidinji nation, not the people, the nation itself, are the true and correct owners of this territory, of the lands and all its resources. And they've never ceded this sovereignty. They've never ceded the territory. They've ceded nothing. It hadn't been extinguished. And this has been made very clear by the Commonwealth of Australia. And then that reflects the hypocrisy of the Australians. We don't want any other unlawful non-citizen on our territory. We actually want to stop those coming into Australia. But hang on, those Australian citizens are unlawful non-citizens on our territory, you know. And there's an old maxim of law, you know, whoever's on your territory is subject to your law and authority. And Australia didn't acquire the sovereignty, the law and authority from the Yidinji Nation, for example, under any doctrine of the Western world or of the modern world. Because I've asked for the doctrine on a number of occasions. What doctrine did you acquire, Australia? Yeah? How did you take the sovereignty over this whole land? Tell us the doctrine. And they've come back and said, we don't have one. We actually don't have one at domestic law, international law, which means that the Commonwealth of Australia, being a manifestation of colonialism, which is exactly what it is, because the Chetcuddy case, the High Court, said the Imperial Crown manifested itself to the Crown and Right of Australia. Now, that's a manifestation of colonialism, which, by the way, is acting contrary to the Charter of the UN, because Resolution 1514 of 1960 makes it very clear that they are acting contrary to the Charter of the UN. Decolonisation must take place quickly and fully. Now, you can't leave a manifestation because all forms and manifestations of colonialism must come to an end. All Australians, all the incoming immigrants, everyone is acting as unlawful non-citizens on our territory. That's why I'm saying the hypocrisy of this. Fancy them marching and saying, you can't come in over there because you're of ethnic background, you're of Arab background, or you're of Chinese background, or you're of British background, you can't come into our world that we shouldn't be here on the territory of the Aboriginal people. And, you know, then they want to stone camp sovereignty. Hang on a sec. Who are the real owners of Victoria, of the territory, of the land that Victoria is sitting upon? Who are they? Now, that's the Aboriginal nations.
Yeah, I think there's a number of things that are coming to my mind when we're talking about this. One is the fallacy of Australia is first. The second is lawlessness, sovereign citizen on a mass scale, and the third one, which is always a concern that we talk about, and Yurlum, I'll bring you in here, is that misdirecting the attack on Indigenous sovereignty, or that the potential mix of Indigenous sovereignty in this mess, for example. Like, there shouldn't be any reason why camp sovereignty be interfered with, in my view. You know, if they're practicing law and culture there and whatnot in the true correct capacity, then really isn't no need. I mean, when in the office here, we're not getting inundated with ultras or pro Australian nationalism. You know, it's like because our position's very, very clear, I think. But Yirrkala, this is something that is confusing around the world, and it's really struggling to work out who's who in the zoo if you're inside Australia or in that world. There's so many different agendas and divisions. I can understand why people are upset.
Yeah, you know, because you know, I suppose my area of focus is education firstly. You look at the way that the education of the world has changed, and it continues to diminish into smaller and smaller pockets. So people are confused because they can only see the small things that are happening right in front of their face right now. There was a saying I heard once, which was, you know, the further you draw your bowstring back, the further the arrow goes. So if you're looking at yourself in your point of time that we are at the moment, the further you can know your past, the further back you can go, the further you're going to understand the best path forward. And, you know, you've got, as you said, you know, Australia in its wrong capacity on our lands, and not just ours, but all the other nations of this continent. And if they try to draw their bowstring back, it only goes back 100 years or so. It doesn't go back too far. So their path, their view of what comes next is limited to how far they look back, and they don't see much going forward. It's very limited. Yet you look at the nations of this continent, okay, we're going back to the beginning of time. You know, we've got a cosmological narrative that goes back to the creation time. And that sets us up for the moral standards that we have within the Yidinji Nation that allows us to make decisions on the best path forward. It's always a moral path forward. It's not about fighting. It's not about any of that. It's all about how do we move together forward. And that's because we have the longest view, both backwards and forwards.
Yeah, that's well said. I think the thing, Ganyara, is that, you know, if you're looking at this subject, people say it's not a migration issue, it's a housing issue. It doesn't really, like, you can come up with a million different positions in there, but the root cause is sovereignty and this need to settle correctly, because that is the whole issue. There needs to be some sort of resolution and a formal agreement to actually be here legitimately.
Oh, is that why the Prime Minister's been talking about treaty after the Uluru statement stuff come out? You mean that treaty sort of stuff too? Because that's international doctrine that they can get connection to sovereignty, because when they come here under terra nullius, oh, there's no one here. Cook told a lie. He shouldn't have said, oh, there's no one down there that I could deal with. He should have said, those natives chased me and they didn't really want me then. They didn't want to sell their country and I had to leave. And by the way, we can't send our boat because there's a mob of them there. And he knew how many were there. You know, they weren't just the one or two on the coast. They were everywhere and they tried to do that. And they knew that when they pulled into Cooktown. When his boat hauled itself, they pulled into the Endeavour River. There weren't more than just, you know, there were more than one or two natives there. They actually gave him a hand to sort his boat out. So he could have went back and said, look, this is the truth. The matter is that country's occupied. We can't go there under the doctrine of discovery, you know, and it's terra nullius and we can settle it and we can take over. And then they said, oh, well, we didn't conquer it. We didn't declare war on them and fight them and beat them. And that. So this is why the High Court come out in Mabo and said, oh, look, it was an act of settlement. But an act of settlement can only happen under two ways. Terra nullius, which the High Court rejected in Mabo, said, no, terra nullius is finished. Or through treaty, through an act of cession of territory to the British. And if that would have happened, to be fair enough, that's a fair game. So fair go. So, but Australia hasn't acquired that. And then as we move forward in time to 1901, as Yirrkala said there, that's how far Australia can look back. That's their origin. They can't go back to the British stuff because that's a whole different realm. That's the UK crown. We're talking about the Australian crown now. So they go back to 1901. So what, 124 years is the length of their bowstring. Not like our 60,000 years, give or take a day or two. So we've got this big differentiation. We're here. We've lived here under law. The Aboriginals have done this forever. So then we've got to go forward and say, okay, Australia itself has come into existence. Now, the crown manifested in 1921 into the multiple crowns, the Crown and Right of Australia. So that's where it changed over from the indivisible crown to the divisible one, which made the Crown and Right of UK, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, whatever. Then we go to the war, the Second World War, when they had a shootout amongst themselves, And Australia was independent by then because that's where the United Nations come together. Now, Australia was one of the founding members of the UN. So how can they hear in their own matter if like the International Court of Arbitration, it's been said to me, you've got to go to the International Courts. International Court. Hang on. Australia is one side of the story that created the International Court. How can you get fair justice in a national court that one of the member states had founded? So we've got to look at the big picture of this. Where do we now resolve this? The resolution comes, and this is the important part, is that through an agreement called a treaty or a contract, whatever you want to call it, that the Yidinji Nation is very much set the path for this, that we will resolve the past, you know, settle the past, secure the future by marrying our land titles, our original root land titles, the originals. We will marry that to the Australian land title in Queensland, the Torrens title system. We will do this as a stroke of a pen. We'll marry exactly so the mums and dads who have houses have worked hard for the house, as we've always said, we don't want to impact mums and dads who have worked very hard and need mortgages over it and they bust their boiler to get it. We will give them our root title. We'll connect the two together via treaty. And by the way, for not one Australian dollar, none, not $1. We will do this for the fairness and, you know, for keeping the mums and dads happy. We don't need to see them being destroyed. Now, Australia should be taking the offer because no one else can do this for them. They can't see as our country. They can't take it under conquest because that got finished in 1945. This is where we're heading, and we got to do this. So, but Australia must come to the table now, because Yidinji government has to move forward to fund itself, and we're going to do this. We are actually in the process of doing it right now, where we will fund ourselves. We don't want any taxpayers' money, not $1 from them. We don't want any money from Australia. What we're going to do is to start to develop our resources and our lands for the betterment of the Yidinji government, and also give value to the Yidinji dollar, which is not an Australian currency. It's not an Australian legal tender. It's ours.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when I was growing up here and elsewhere, you're thinking the people that are the landowners, how come they're poor and destitute? How can they be homeless on their own territory? And I'm not saying everyone's homeless, but you know, a majority of people don't own their own houses, let's say, in the Australian world. So it saddened me even to this very day that, you know, there are families out there who have been very generous in their hospitality, are very patient, but waiting for the Australian system to do something for them when, in fact, it's not going to do that. So the whole Yidinji movement now, it's not about taking away from Australia at all. It's about actually just building, rebuilding a modern Yidinji nation based off this ancient law that still exists today through the people that are walking around here. And that's a very important thing because it's not, we talk about money, but it's not about the money, if it makes sense, because people usually get into an argument over resources and money. And I think this is where too many people in Australia, they're taking our jobs, they're taking our homes, and there's this, all that kind of discussion happening inside of Australia, whereas the Yidinji nation is looking very much at, well, how can we accommodate this but also fix up this issue of bringing the clan systems into their rightful position again and making it better for the future generations for everybody?
Look, Australia's got to concentrate on its issues back here. You know, at present, it wants to play in the political world out there, the international world, which is really stupid at this stage. They shouldn't be over there. They're governing 25 million people or 26 million people, whatever it is. The Australian population is very small in the big world of 8 billion people. They need to focus on their own camp back home first. They've got to sort this mess out. You know, forget about the Middle Eastern issue. You know, what's the recognition of Palestine, whether it's good or bad, is irrelevant. They should not be commenting on that because Palestine is not a UN member state. It really isn't. But that's 12,000 or 13,000 kilometres away. That's over there. But yet, we've got our issue of sovereignty here. They know we're here. They know that we got this right to assert sovereignty because their courts have said so very clearly. The international world has said we can do this, the assertion of our sovereignty. Yet they're refusing to play in their own backyard. We really need to sort this mess out Before Australia goes over there arguing with anyone else or taking part in international politics, it should pull back its position and say, we've got to sort our own sovereignty, because this so-called, and old so-called Australia, Commonwealth of Australia, does not have sovereignty complete over this country. The only way you can assert sovereignty is to bludgeon the Aboriginal nations into submission, which is acting against the rules of the international world that it wants to take part in. It can't force sovereignty, their sovereignty, on us. We've got to work together with this and resolve the issue. And this is what we're saying from the Yidinji Nation, is through the proper formal procedure of treaty, that their settlement can get a treaty to be on our territory.
Yeah, and Yirrkala, I'll bring you in here, because that's the whole, you know, Australia's going around preaching about international standards and peace and all this stuff, but yet, you know, a record number of children being removed from their families and their communities is increased since the apology to the Stolen Generations. Youth detention now at a record levels in certain states and territories, and more women are being incarcerated now. So it doesn't look too good, and this is the whole point now. It's like, when will it stop? I don't think it's going to stop, but the nations are going to have to be proactive in a way that, you know, I'm not saying the Yidinji way, but the Yidinji way here is working, and, you know, we can't unravel it and defeat the system in 10 years or 15 years, 13 years, whatever it is. That's an unlikely thing to do, but it's about having that conversation to really, really put the tribe first, because if you're putting the tribe first, you're putting the family first, and you're putting the land and everyone else, you're looking after everybody.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a system that is deteriorating, and it will continue, unfortunately. And it's Yidinji is offering a treaty. Only Yidinji can offer a treaty. You know, Australia can't offer Yidinji a treaty. It's only this way that it can happen. And part of that is the immense wisdom that comes with the cultural way of approaching life and how things work between each other socially and so forth. And, you know, you want to see everybody on equal standing. And, you know, it's sort of like what's that analogy where, you know, you're chopping down the trees in the forest and only one person's looking climbing up a tree to see if you're in the right forest. You know, the Australian system, the Western system, these systems are the wrong forest. They don't work. You know, you're in the wrong area. You've got to be in the right area and the right way of approaching it. And the Yidinji way, the traditional way, the cultural way, is a way that ensures that people can work together, be together, have everything that allows people to be and develop to their utmost. And that's just not the way it's working in Australia at the moment.
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today. Thanks to our friends at Bumma Bipra Media and the National Indigenous Radio Service inside of Australia. We'll catch you after the break.
Hey, this is Kali D, and you're listening to BBM 98.7.
Oh, you're not meant to be lonely.
Welcome back to the show. We've been talking about these pro-Australia marches, and I guess one thing that I wanted to... I raised a couple of points here earlier, Ganyara, and one of them is the potential for, because of that confusion and disarray inside of Australia, because, you know, you're talking earlier about the crown being divisible, and, you know, in the Bible it says a house divided cannot stand. So it is, for me, it's an absolute 100% thing that these remnants of the realm of Britain are going to somehow transition into something else or have a new face, and the Yidinji Nation's here to look after everybody. So my I wanted to sort of explore your mind in terms of the one, because there's so much confusion in there, that Aboriginal sovereignty may be confused as being inside of Australia when it isn't. So the whole sovereign citizen dilemma may try to infiltrate the tribal society and the law to use that law against Australia inside of Australia, which is not the correct way to apply law.
That's happening already. As we speak, that's going on, and that's where it's wrong. Most people, especially with the pseudo-law rubbish, they don't understand how law originates and where it comes from and sovereignty. They don't understand that. They think they want to be like the crocodile in the harbour. He's sovereign in his own right. He swims around, eats tucker as he sees fit. He's under no law until he misbehaves, until he starts eating humans, eats Australians, and what happens? Parks and wildlife get a gun out and shoot him. And that's fair enough because he's a threat to all other human life. You know, so these sovereign citizens that want to do this, what they're actually doing is they want to jump out of Australian law and go where? Become lawless, become outlaws. They want to do it in their own free will. You know, we're claiming to be one of God's, and they claim to be an animal, by the way. If you jump out of all law, including the Bible, you'll go to be the animal status.
And once again, this comes back to what we talked about the other day. Like, it comes back to country, to the land you're standing on, the land we stand on. You know, without that in place, you know, we worked out clearly the last time that a Yidinji stands on its country, you know, but Australia doesn't, sovereign citizens don't, so it sort of falls over immediately once that land is taken from under your feet.
Precisely 100%. So the reason we have sovereignty over territory is the ancient systems of law, by the way, the Aboriginal sovereignty is not lawless. It's not anti-law. Sovereign citizens are, I'll pick and choose the laws that suit me, but they're going to use the identity that is created for them to participate in Australia. They're going to use that to go against the Commonwealth of Australia. Effectively what they're doing, and I'll make it really easy for people to understand, they got a big drill in their hand, and they're on the Australian boat, because everyone wants to go on this maritime law rubbish, but let's just use it for them, they can understand. They've got a big boat with all the Australians in it. And this clown, called the sovereign citizen, wants to get a big drill and start boring holes in the bottom of the boat. If you were the captain of that boat, what would you do with the clown boring holes in your boat? You know, this is what we've got to understand. What would you do? You'd have to crack him with a stick and take the drill off his hands and, you know, get up here, we'll lock you in the clink. You know, we've got to do that so you don't wreck our boat. This maritime rubbish, you know, but we'll use that as a good analogy. So,
yeah, I want to tell a story because this has been here forever, the law we're talking about now. In one of the first arrivals of the first fleet and after that, there was a boat with a black fella on it, and I think his name was Black Caesar, was his nickname. He actually escaped one of the British settlements and ran into the tribal areas around Sydney or somewhere, I can't remember now. But then the tribe rock up to the governor or whoever it is and saying, hey, this is one of your fellas. Now, he might have been blackfella, but he wasn't part of their law system or society, but he was breaking it. So they gave him back to that the colonial masters. And I think that's where the Yidinji Nation is very much the same. It's like, hey, look, we don't want these troublemakers. This is one of your troublemakers. You need to look after it. We look after ourselves, thanks very much. And by the way, you're on our territory. If you want to be here, you better control your citizens because they're getting out of control.
Well, they're starting to infiltrate the Aboriginal sovereignty movement with this nonsense and rubbish, this stupidity of the pseudo-law rubbish. They're starting to bring in all these elements that there's a big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and if you stand on this, and I've got the keys for this vault, and you will get all this money.
And a Yidinji leprechaun there too.
Hey, look out for that bloke. Yeah, I didn't know we had leprechauns, but I'm wary now. But you see the stupidity of this. If you do this and you pay someone $1 million to get this course of stupidity, which is what I'm calling it, because they're not being educated in law, they're not being educated in constitutional law or where law originates from and how it does originate, because they recognise in the High Court with Mabo that there are systems of law that have always been here that have an origin, have a connection point back to somewhere, and that's back to our laws. And that under that law, under that very law that has been here for 60,000 years, that recognised sovereignty is saying that you society of people own this portion of land on this earth, not the Australians. If you cannot own this land under an Australian identity, you've got to own this under your tribal identity, under your national identity. And this is where the Yidinji Nation is foreign to the Commonwealth of Australia. It is not part of Australia. There is no treaty. There is no formal agreement. And as they said in the Uluru Statement, you own this land under your law, not Australian law.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the mainstream media is talking about sovereign citizens but they don't talk about Indigenous sovereignty because that's a total different kettle of fish. And Bumi, I'm glad to see you here today. Often you say that when you talk in public, you say that Yidinji aren't criminals. And that's a true story because this is your land and Yidinji land, and we're not here to make trouble. We're here to bring peace and to make things good for everybody.
Yeah. Like, Dad, a long time, you know, like, I can go back a little bit and this land was free, but this is our home. See, Yidinji, I'm just Australia's most of the Aboriginal. And talking about law, about hurting people, we done the correction right, telling our lot not to do this, not to do that. Like go hunting when it's season and yeah, walk about you, make you steal your spear and all that now, boomerang. And I'll just talk English yet, but to get through to you, so how we're going to go. So coming down the road now, I hear by my Bipra talk, they talk about the music, they talk about themselves. There's nobody working there to know the real root of this land. You know? That's a, oh, you're putting us down there. No, I'm not. No. I've been fed by my mum and dad. See, when mum came from Georgetown, that they walk out. I don't want to put that all the time, but dad from here, he got initiated on Double Island and... them thing wasn't a rule to do this sort of thing. It been a rule from the old people. And see, I can't take them thing out of me. Although they left me, I think about in the morning time about them. I think about when I go shopping. I think about when my birthday come up. And now we're all living a beautiful life today. Yeah, Dad been training us up, me and Anthony, Charlie Trevor, and my sister born at the racetrack, Amy. And all this walk we done... It, you know, now they got black and white. You know, the other night we had a march and the government wouldn't let us come in for the Fund of the Sun. We had to go through them and they let us go. But now, living this life now on this Gimoy, we still got a little thing to keep going, you know, on this, keep talking. And me with Yurum and Kanjula and Muramuya, that I'm their salt, you know. See, like Dad said, your appearance there. That's such a powerful thing, Dad. They have to say a lot of words, just a short word, you know. I'm proud of myself, you know. We're not here to put people down. I get hurt to see our people going on now, you know. You know, oh, look, that's your time. Oh, it's our time. We're going to put this in our body. We're going to put that in their body. I flat out see a lot of people along this esplanade, they're coming to exercise with me and walk about, you know. And we are not putting down here. We're not trying. You're going to lift up, you know. And, yeah, I wish they're concerned, Bubba Britt, but this is the Hyde family land. Full stop, you know.
Well, let's see how we go. But the thing is that what you said is very important, that you can't take it out of you. The same way that... you can't take it out of the land. You can dig all the way to the centre of the earth. From this point, it's still Yidinji land. You can't change it. A crocodile might think it's a possum, but it's not. It's always going to be a crocodile because it's in the makeup of that crocodile. He might think he's a possum, but he's not. The same way that you can't just... You can play like acting with corroboree or you know, for dancing... And put that paint on, but you got to wash that paint off going back to the original man there. And that blood is Yidinji. So this is not a makeup story or anything like that. It is a true story.
Oh, it's a true story. See, like being with Dad, my mum went for his husband to listen, you know, in the right sense. And that's how I get a lot of pull down there. And so, oh, well, one day we'll see who'll have the laugh. But I don't want to talk like, oh, what comes around goes around. We are the traditional owner of this land. You can't, you know, we can't dream or anymore that it's the truth. I've never read it with Dad, Mum, Dad. And then Dad had me and Anthony over Yoruba. The rest would stay here, White Rock, go out Fishery Falls way and all these places. you know, that cutting the cane, I know about it. And all my license and my drivers, I get them from Montana, you know. Now that I know where all these places are, you know, jolly.
Yeah, I think, Gagnara, it's really important to know that even if they erase the minds of every Yidinji man and woman, let's say that was possible. Let's say they had a microchip and they put it into people's brains and they tricked them into thinking that there was something else. If you were to dig up those bones 10,000 years from now, they will say that those bones are from a society that have connection to this land here. I don't know how far back, 10,000, 60,000, 50. That's not the point. The point is that even though you think you're something, your body DNA and everything else will prove otherwise. The same with the Yidinji way, it's never going to go away. You can wipe the brains out and erase the whole Yidinji Nation's library, but somewhere along the line, there's still going to be evidence that the Yidinji Nation is still here.
Look, what's going on with the sovereign citizen stuff is verging on the stage of domestic terrorism. It really is. I'd just say it's really criminal what's going on, because the government is complicit in that by not educating their citizens. However, you know, the civics education, I've always been on that. But if it's going to verge on domestic terrorism, let's go back a few years to not long after the first boats arrived out here in the 1780s. And one of the governors said to the citizens, or the British that come out, including the police, is to go and terrorise the local Aboriginal people. Now, that is an act of terrorism. And let me ask this of Bumi here. Did they ever harm your family by shooting any toes off, for example, as a form of threat and terrorist action against your family to keep them inside Australia? Didn't they go over to the other side and say, who's the boss here? Who's this? We got a gun and we will flog you and we will shoot you. You know, let Uncle tell the truth here. Let Bumi tell the truth of who the real terrorists are, and that they've now bred another mob of terrorists inside Australia with these nutcases.
Mm-hmm. See, Gribble came over there. He came with a Bible and he came with the clothes that the priests wear, the sheep and wife with clothing, like the word says. So he didn't come to help. He came to shoot us. He came to flog us. He used to flog them kiddies to stay around Vance Bay and even teach Minmini how to talk. So he went around to his community, tied Minmini up in the hand, and he jumps on his horse. He said, right, I'll show you all the campus. Came and brought all them people and he said, this man got good news. He didn't have good news. He had to flog the little kid naked. Aboriginal people are skinny people. He had to flog the flogger, can't move, and some of them died, and they took them, ran a point and buried them in a bag, you know? And Gribble went out to Reece Creek and they asked him, lot out there, who's in charge? They said, you could ask Bowa. It was Charlie Hyde. See, Charlie Hyde really was named Bowa. He owns this land, Yidinji land. My name Bumi, we aren't, but when they gave me an English name, once of them, like Peter Hyde, I've got nothing. All they say, Merry Christmas, you're right, all this and that, that way. I know, we've seen it. I've seen it, you know.
Connor, can you share that story about Lake Street, about that person that was killed there?
Yeah. So there was a people in Lake Street here at the Moulin, not far from the Heights Hotel. It was a rainy time there. That's where the coach used to come in there. And like a taxi stand, but it was a coach, horse. So it had been rainy that day, a bit muddy there. And what bitumen came a long time after. And this Frank Bungley and all them lot were there, Dad. And up with this fellow, Dave, the language, Dave. And he went up to wipe this fellow a boot, you know, to polish it. Of course, the mud hit that white fellow in the nose. That fellow pulled a gun and shot him right there, with Shield Street there. You know? And they done a lot of things that we can't forget. You know, that's why sometimes I walk around and I'm thinking, oh, God, like they're still going. And I said one time, I don't know what they're looking for, you know. I mean, we go hunting and that, but these fellows with gun and even, you know, they get gangsters too, but they cover up and next minute we hear somebody died, you know, like he's shot at back.
I just want to reassert that point there that Colin was saying, that even though there's these terrible things that were happening on the territory, people being shot, pushed off cliffs and all that kind of stuff, that revenge attitude or retribution, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, is not here. I've talked to so many Yidinji elders who want peace, that they know the value of peace, and you know that it's really important that we don't do that to the foreigner or whatever you want to label people.
Yeah, of course, so many cultural narratives throughout the world have that in their history. And it's sort of another example of what I was saying before about, you know, how far can you pull your bow back? How far do you go back in time and see the original spiritual origins of all of us? And in that feeling, it's about a oneness, it's about a unity. So to hurt another human being, you're only hurting yourself. We are all one when you get to that level. And Yidinji comes from that. All the nations of this continent come from that perspective, where it's not about revenge, it's not about an eye for an eye, it's about how can we come together and work together and move together forward, and that's so important. But in saying that, part of that journey is truth-telling to yourself, you know? Have a serious look at it. As painful as it is to go through the stories of the past, the recent past, the very recent past, like Bumi just shared with us, you know, to go into any nation, which I've done many times and found out the history of those places, it is deeply painful and hurting to listen to stories of, you know, grandmothers being shoved off cliffs, of people being shot without any real reason. And that forms part then of your moral standard that helps you make that discussion and move forward.
Kenyara, the treaty helps resolve that. It's an entry point into the true healing, let's say. And even though Australia tries to have these truth treaty and everything else, it sort of it can't really reside there. There has to be two parties. There has to be multiple parties to this process, and it can't just be unilateral.
Precisely, dead right. The voice referendum was an absolute classic. It was an absolute classic. And Yidinji have all along said that all Australians should be saying no at that referendum. They got to vote no because they're going to give one group of Australians certain privileges over another group of Australians. We were never Australian. Yidinji were never Australian, so we can't participate in that game. That's why we're saying black Australians have no more rights than white Australians have, or Chinese Australians or anyone else. They're all the same, all identity. And this is, by the way, where most of the pseudo-law rubbish goes crazy. They don't understand the identity stuff. They think it's some key to some vault somewhere with all this money in it, and it's absolute BS. It's total rubbish. The law itself is created to be in place to control a territory. And it's the identities that are created under that law, which is Yidinji law here, you know, it's beyond everything. That's why Bumi was saying, my name is Bumi, and under Bumi name, Bumi is this part of the world, in Gimoi, Bumi is the true and correct owner and the elder that can speak for this part of the world, you know, and once you get into tribal law, that's a very different realm altogether. But this is where we understand Bumi is not Peter Hyde. Ganyara is not Peter Bishop. Simple as that. This is where identities are created inside law to allow people to participate in the society. And in this case, Bumi participates in the Yidinji society.
100%. And there's a difference between the chief minister of the Yidinji nation or the government and Bumi and Peter and any other name, because that's why Mr. Geyer or Mr. Smith can't talk for Yidinji, for example, right? Because it has to be a Yidinji calling or a name from that place to talk through that. And I think that's what the whole point is, that if I go north, I've got a different name there, and I can choose to be participate in that society at a tribal level, but because they don't have a government, they can't control create a government position for me, let's say. But the Yidinji nation did. The calling, the office, the whole lot, there's this space here to create this journey that we're on to actually make it better for everybody.
Look, the Yidinji government was set up for a reason. Now, we can go into tribal law, and that's brutal, that world. I mean, it's deadly serious because there is corporal and capital punishment. Now, if I was to come down here under tribal law and take country off Uncle here, off Bumi, he's got every right to get all his young fellas out, get the spears drawn and start to spear people. Because I'm stealing his country. Even though we're of the Yidinji nation, I'm not allowed to come down here and take his country. That's That's a law that's just been there forever and a day. And if he comes up top thinking he's going to be boss dog up there and take our country, same thing. The young fellows get the spears and they line him up and, okay, let's sort this out with the spear. So this is capital punishment. We don't want to go into that world. The other reason we had to create a government is, I keep saying this, where's Australia's tribe? Where's their territory? Oh, they don't have a territory or they don't have a tribe. They are a UN member state, just a legal entity that's got no right to be here because it's a manifestation of colonialism, which is why I go on about the hypocrisy of Australia and its rubbish that is going playing in the international world. It's playing in there under, it's got skeletons in its cupboard, hasn't it? And I mean literally real skeletons, because they tried to shoot and terrorise our people, including his relations, his father and his grandfather. Oh, we'll just shoot him in the foot. We'll shoot him in the foot and we'll terrorise him. Now, who are they? Who's this manifestation called Australia? It's the imperial world. It's still a manifestation of the imperial world that's been here, that's got no right to be here, and they're going sticking their nose in business 12 or 13,000 on the other side of the world, in the Middle East. Here we are. We're going to stick our nose in here. Sort out your business back here. And Yidinji is saying, we can do it. We are the ones that can do it because, as Uncle said, his part of the world here are the true and correct owners to let all the Australians have connection to the Yidinji land title to ensure that the Australian land title is secure for the future. And, you know, it's got to be married that way, and it's not going to cost $1.
Yeah, you know, we men of God, now we're talking this kind of business. The scriptures say that not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. That's what the Creator says. And we're not getting a machine gun or cannon and shooting people to get this land back. It's actually through what we're talking about, through your word and through your deed, you know.
See, like Dad, Charlie-eyed Boa, even paint them before he said, you're my tribe. That's your family that I want you if you come here. So like I got Yurulam here, Dangira, and Murumu. We can't go against them. I can't go against them because I got them. And this is a big, powerful standard we got here, what we're talking about. And that's the truth. You know, we don't growl over table here. We're giving you the truth. I see all these followers like Trump and all of that going for it. And, you know, they're like an empty tin to me, or a rattling tin making a lot of noise for nothing. But here we're giving you the right sense of this land, you know. There was a big meeting place up here with Gimoy, a big victory. They knocked it down there, but I was given a speech last night and I said, that victory, not Gimoy, not there anymore, but I said, we here. See, them thing is in us now, that Sheila, Grandad and all these things, they're in me, you can't take it out, you know. Wherever I go, them old people, they're right here now. And I bet you one thing, they're very happy at the way we're going, because they used to stand up and, you know, with power, but they couldn't talk on a mic like we're doing now, but that's really good what we're doing, you know? Yeah.
You're listening to Black Lord Trial Edition right across the planet today. We'll be back after the break with some final comments.
Hello, my name is Andrew, and I'm from Arnhem Land. My band called Andrew Guru Band, and you're listening to BBM 98.7.
That's it for the show. I think we've covered a lot of ground today. Bumi, some words of encouragement for all the mob and all the mob listening. What do you want to say?
What do Uncle want to say? Just come forward, you know. We are sovereignty Aboriginal people right across in Australia. Australia belongs to the Aboriginal people, and you know, send for us or come in and Cairns and Gimoy that, you know, we could have a talk. Uncle say, have a good day, Colin, and we'll catch you up next time.
Yurulam, some words there about your thoughts on what we talked about today.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. 3% of the population is the traditional owners, the legal owners, in every sense, responsible owners of the continent, and that's the way forward. You know, come step up and take your rightful position.
Okay, Ganyara.
Look, Australia's got to get its house in order. Don't go out spruiking around the world when you have a house built on quicksand. Come to the original people, and Cairns, by the way. Cairns has to do a deal with the Gimoi mob. That's why we call it Gimoi. If you go and look around the government buildings, they've got cans and Gimoi on, like the school, for example, on the side of the door. Come to the right mob and encourage the Commonwealth of Australia to do the deal properly. Come and do a treaty so all Australians have a role. If you are really pro-Australian, and I mean this, if you are really pro-Australian and you support Australia, get onto your government to get the government to secure the land properly through formal agreement, through treaty, through nothing else but treaty. You can't get it by conquest. You can't steal it. You can't do anything. Get a real deal done with each and every Aboriginal nation to secure to settle the past for a start. And it's not for $1, no money involved. But the Indigenous nations must then, through treaty, try and marry the like our title, our land title, our original root title, to the Australian title. And that's fair enough for all the freehold mums and dads blocked, but the Crown land wants to be very careful because Yidinji is in the process of asserting its sovereignty regarding Crown land, because the Crown have no right to claim any land, let alone sell it off to mums and dads. So we're feeling a bit sorry for mums and dads, which is why I'm saying, mums and dads, go and encourage your government, our government's in place for a reason, encourage your government called Australia or the state of Queensland to talk real deals with the Aboriginal nations to secure your future. Because if you don't, then you just don't know how this modern world is going to play out. Now, I'm very, I could say, pro-Australian, because, you live here all your life and I can't speak Chinese or anything else or Spanish, so I couldn't go to South America, for example. I speak English for a purpose. That's how we interact with the world, and that's all we've been taught, besides you didn't. So get your people to go forward and tell your government to come and talk to the real legitimate government, not the pseudo-law rubbish. And I'll tell you why they don't include Yidinji Aboriginal law in the pseudo-law realm, because the constitutional experts know who the real people are and who the real owners are under any law, international or domestic, and that's the Aboriginal people.
Thank you. That's it for the show today. Gai Baragalanunda, may God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to the show, in the almighty name of Yeshua. Jesus, and which means God save, it literally means God saves. So if you believe that a creator made this territory, then Jesus is the one and the way, the truth, and the life. Is that right, Bumi? That's right. So anyway, we'll catch you next week. Culling.
Old people used to say if someone got lost on country, you could use language and you could find that person because country talks back. Now, if you don't know that connection between language and country, it makes it very difficult to have that association. Once we had done putting Wagamay language back on country, it had a huge impact, not only on us as custodians of this country, because it's part of our healing process and connecting us and identifying, but also it was an opportunity for white people to then tap into this history, this wealth of history of knowledge of country.
You see, I'm scoped from afar, some just mind on biz. Some people reaching for the stars, others reaching for their kids. Many never saw the sails or smoke trails and did a bit. Now they trapped in a dead world, hoping to make it big. I'll have to drop a track at summertime and summer clear viz. Cause the summary is killing me and someone did a shit. Somebody better call the cavalry, cause someone trying to live. They need a sunken treasure, suddenly their son is on the hit. Their gun is on the hip with money on the clip. This shit ain't funny, in an insane world they want us to be living in, man. Every goose got their beak in it, meantime truth they be concealing it. There's so much healing left too numerous. Fraudulent reps are fabricated, sign unlawful checks. Money craze, but now the phase will charm another step. An Argy on a lost breath, but you feather your own nest and disrespect her till there's nothing left. Damn. Our people sunken in the streets, ain't seeing through this depth. Now evil hunters on the beach, they say choosing a check.